why we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 17, Flowers, Vases, Tables and Poems. In this podcast, we're picking up where we left off last time, with a little floral appreciation, and finding out what the Song Dynasty's love of flowers can tell us about the sights, society, and indeed sounds of the dynasty. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. So, we know that the people of the Song Dynasty had a thing about flowers. Also, a thing about ideas and poetry. Plus, a thing about things. If all these aspects could come together in some way, then it created a perfect happiness storm for the refined people of the Song. But flowers were less about passion and celebration for the people of the Song Dynasty and more to do with nest feathering and having pleasing things surrounding them. They didn't need a particular reason for buying flowers, and in fact, they were part and parcel of the daily life routine in the dynasty. Needless to say, the Song scholars wrote poems about that routine. This one, for example, by Lu Yo, who incidentally was born on a boat, married his cousin, was forced to divorce by his mother, and was then heartbroken. He went on to become a famous patriotic poet. Over the years, world affairs seem thin as a veil. Why should I ride off as a stranger in the capital? In my attic all night, I hear the rustle of spring rain. At dawn, apricot blooms are sold deep in the lane. I dash off a few slanting lines on a slip of paper, sipping up cups of fine tea by my sunny window pane. Why bother to sigh for my clean coat to be smeared? It's not late to be home for the Qingming Festival. So we know that it was common for hawkers to sell flowers in the streets of the then capital Hangzhou. Another poem, this time by the Emperor Huizong of Song himself, says, "I could hear the sound of hawking flowers through curtains," which tells us the hawkers would advertise their arrival by shouting. Oh, and they had curtains. If you are a fan of Western musicals, think of the scene in Oliver Twist where his nurse opens the window in his bedroom and he hears the cacophony of hawkers' voices in the square below, including, first off, "Who will buy my sweet red roses?" It is also testament to the fact that the emperor, rather than opting for tranquility, actually liked to hear the everyday sounds of the city outside the palace. The Eastern Capital, A Dream of Splendor, by Meng Yuanliao, is a detailed and nostalgic description of the old capital's urban life, seasonal produce and festivals, as well as foods, customs and traditions. It was written just after the Northern Song had to suddenly decamp and move south, fleeing the barbarians in the north. Various flowers are sold in the market, including peony, Chinese herbaceous peony, Caria japonica, and Lady Banks rose. Flower vendors put horse head-shaped bamboo baskets in a row, and their hawking is quite clear. If someone is still sleeping after drinking, or just waking up from a sweet dream in a quiet house or a tall building with curtains, the sound will make them more vulnerable to depressing feelings, which is the best part of it. Oh, how the Song people loved emotional pain. But again, from this piece, we can maybe appreciate exactly how much of a wrench it was for the dynasty to grab their belongings and find a new place to live. The sound of the hawkers would have evoked sadness, maybe of a lifestyle so recently lost. And don't forget our marvellous scroll along the river during the Qingming Festival. There is a flower stall selling blooms in horse head-shaped bamboo baskets, just like in the description. Another common habit of the Song was to give flowers to console recipients. Again, it's expressed in poetry. Chen Qi's Flowers from a Hotel Owner. The hotel owner gives flowers every day. The sad feeling of getting old makes people sign over them. The owner means to keep guests staying in his hotel for more time. However, guests become homesick because of the flowers he gives. In this case, the flowers, though well meant, have the opposite effect to that which was intended. In the Song Dynasty, flowers were part of a curious chain reaction. A radical change in furniture tastes was underway. The Song people were especially fond of tables, scholars' desks, side tables, dressing tables, painting tables. It was the fashionable thing to have. The problem with tables, though, is that you need something to put on them. The Song also loved functionality, so you couldn't just have a table with nothing on it. So then, they developed a taste for porcelain. And again, it had to have both form and function. Vases seemed the perfect thing to place on the tables, but then what should go in the vases? Well, flowers, of course. And sitting at your nice new fashionable table with a beautiful vase on it, filled with some equally beautiful flowers, what did the Song scholars do under these circumstances? Write a poem. Happiness. Until the Song period, porcelain was used for practical objects such as lamps and incense burners. They had been common objects in Chinese society for a long time, but sat on a table and they became a work of art. Northern Song poet and politician Wang Anshi wrote, "People become less happy when becoming old, let alone ill in bed. I get some water for the new flowers to console myself for the past time. Time is short, so is my life. As time passes, the new flowers and the old me will be forgotten." That, rather poignantly, was his last poem. He never wrote another word thereafter. There's a painting called Reading the Book of Changes in a Shabby House, which again speaks volumes, not only about the place of flowers in Song society, but also about poetry, furniture, and porcelain. In the painting, there is a vase on the table with plum blossom in it. What's the message? Even if you have a shabby house, you can still keep up appearances by buying a little vase and placing a flower in it. Scholars preferred small vases for flowers, simple elegance. Zhou Ziji, in his 10 poems of North Lake in late spring, writes, "There are people everywhere in Chang'an, while time in Jingji Temple moves slowly. I woke up from my nap at noon, seeing smoke still come out from an incense burner." Again, a simple clue as to how the Song people like to live their lives. They like to nap in the afternoon, don't we all? Especially with an incense burner nearby. Qian Shi was a southern Song poet. He wrote in the preface of a poem called Small Porcelain Vase, "One of my nephews bought two small porcelain vases recently, and people all admired them. Another nephew of mine had some thoughts regarding the vases. The general idea was the vases are less than one qi in length and cost no more than 100 pennies. People love them because of their beautiful shapes. If not for the shapes, they aren't admired, even though they have dazzling decorations. It works the same way for humans. If a man has a good moral conduct, then he is a good man, even though he is humble. If a man has no moral conduct, he has nothing to be liked, even though he is a man of noble birth. I like his opinion, thus wrote a poem to elaborate it in the hope of enlightening people who think the same way. What he is saying is the price of the vase doesn't determine the value of an object. The key lies in the way it's made, elegance and simple beauty. In fact, it's almost impossible to separate out all the elements. All the things that appealed to the people of the Song Dynasty were linked, but as we already know, that's how they saw the world. It was the same with tea. The tea experience was all about getting the right tea, using the best water, brewing it correctly, and throwing a party. With flowers, you grew and selected the best blooms, showed them off with a beautiful vase, set upon a trendy table, and then sat looking at it, waiting for the muse to strike so that you could write a poem. These days, we talk about the interconnectedness of things, especially in terms of how they are linked together through the internet. It was no different in the Song Dynasty. Everything was connected. Every individual thing, though beautiful or tasty or elegant, was just a thing. Add them together, and they became a marvelous thing. Over the next few podcasts, we'll continue our voyage through the Song Dynasty's sea of marvelous things. Special thanks go out to Sanlian Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time. This has been a China Plus podcast. If you like the show, please give us a rating and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. If you've got any questions or feedback, please feel free to contact us via email at podcast@cri.com.cn or find us on Twitter, China Plus Pods.